Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you, Ami. It's so good to have you back. I remember when you first sang that song to us a long time ago, and it is still relevant, isn't it? Thank you. Good morning. Whenever I have a Sunday off like I did last week, I get to thinking about how wonderful it is that we together have created this Center for Spiritual Living. And I think of all the people who attend services and how we've really come to know each other and love each other and how we're developing, being more welcoming of new people. I also think of everyone, our friends who are listening on the radio, and I think of all of our friends in Latin America who are watching our videos, and I feel this gratitude for how beautifully this center supports us in our spiritual growth and well-being. And I get to thinking that for the center to be able to support us in this way, we have to support the center. And we do that very beautifully. The reason why I'm thinking about this mutual relationship of caring and being cared for, giving and receiving, is because this month we are talking about our planet and how beautifully our planet supports us, even when we don't support it. It's so vast, our Earth, and it appears to us humans that it is so permanent that it's easy to take it for granted and imagine that it doesn't need anything from us. It's very important for me to investigate that because I don't want to take things for granted and think, oh, well, it'll always be there, or somebody else will take care of it. It's important to me to care about and for the things that support me. And that's true of relationships, friendships, families, pets, our air, our water. And today we're thinking in particular about our planet, because it's very easy to take it for granted. It's so magnificently solid, it appears to us, and yet we are learning we do need to take care of it. And as a species, human beings, with the incredible power that we have to feel and to choose and to invent and to create and to act, we could be doing a better job of caring for our Earth. Each month we recommend a book to supplement our topic. So there's 12 books, but there's 12 months. And I know not everyone can read every single book. Perhaps February will appeal to one person and July to another person. Like this month really appeals to me. The recommended book is Spiritual Ecology, The Cry of the Earth. And I really like it because it's a book of short essays by various spiritual thinkers that you can really pick up and start reading anywhere. Like, for example, there's an essay by Thich Nhat Hanh in which he urges us to think of the earth as a living being that we belong to, part of our own self, and to see its health as our own health. And he writes in that essay, until we get to the root of this idea that we are separate from the earth, there can be no healing progress. Or another one of the writers, Satish Kumar, writes that when we are at war with nature, we are also at war with ourselves. And he writes that to make peace with the earth, we have to make peace with ourselves, which he writes means coming to terms with our real nature. So what then is our real nature? Well, our teaching, Science of Mind, holds that we are spiritual beings and we have access through our own minds to that one creative power that we call the divine, and that we can use that power through the freedom of our choice to do good or to do whatever we like. And our primary spiritual tool for using this power is called spiritual mind treatment, which is just another way of saying affirmative prayer. Now, we are probably already used to, accustomed to treating for or praying for ourselves, important issues, or for loved ones. And this month, I'm suggesting that we include in our daily prayer practice treating for the earth, just as we would pray for a loved one or a pet or an important issue. Now, if you have got a practice of daily prayer, of spiritual mind treatment, you probably already know that the practice of treatment changes the one praying. I learned a long time ago when I began studying Science of Mind that when things go wrong, when I get into trouble, the fastest way through to the other side is to pray for other people. Because treatment focused on others changes me by tuning me into the sacredness that connects us, and this stirs up unity. When you and I treat about other people, something very subtle happens. Tenderness arises. And that's the first point I want us to consider today, tenderness. Tenderness means showing gentleness and concern. You know, when we develop tenderness for someone, we start to care about them and to be careful about them in our actions and in our thoughts and in our feelings. I don't mind confessing to you that I have a secret prayer practice. I go through the day and I make note of people just as I observe them. And then in my own private time, I handwrite a spiritual mind treatment for them. It's not something you can request I do. It's my personal practice, you know. I do it for myself. And I notice that as I do it, I've got this secret love affair. And the next time I see those people, I go, oh, you don't know, but I've been loving on you, you know. And this tremendous warmth and sweetness emerges. And it reminded me that when we include the earth in our prayer work in this way, we can expect that tenderness for nature to grow. We can expect ourselves to care more and to be more careful about our planet when we include it. And the reason for this growth in tenderness is because spiritual mind treatment or prayer is the practice of first recognizing the divine and then identifying myself with that divinity. And then the next step to connect the person or the thing or the event I'm treating about with that same divinity. And when I really get into that sense of shared unity, I start to change in my attitude and in my regard. Negativity falls away. Self-centeredness decreases. Tenderness arises. When I can really get it deeply that the divine that lives in me is the same divine that lives in you, how will I behave toward you? Similarly, when I can really get it that this planet with all of its fierce energy and its wild nature and its crazy cycles and changes and challenges and disasters, is part of the same holiness. How will I behave toward it? I recently visited the Kingdom of Bhutan. It's a Buddhist nation. And the guide that led us through the kingdom said that in Bhutanese Buddhism, there is a saying. Now, the saying is based on the idea of reincarnation and the idea that time is simultaneous and infinite. Okay? So the saying is this. At some point, all sentient beings were your mother. Wow. Then they ask themselves a question based on this idea. How am I treating my mother today? Now they're thinking not only of other people, but of all sentient beings. And I remember that many ancient traditions call the earth our mother and consider it to be a sentient being itself. And so perhaps we can begin to ask, how are we treating our mother, which gave us life and supports us? I think it's important to ask that because the time of just using and exhausting resources as if there are no consequences is coming rapidly to an end. And we're finding that we have to wake up together to our role as stewards, not only of the planet, but stewards also for those who cannot speak for themselves, who cannot take a seat at the table of politics and justice and finances, like the planet. So we must be their voices, and to do that, we have to be awake to what it takes to care for them. I'll give you an example. My dog, Cooper, he cannot speak. So I have to pay a special kind of attention to him, a tender care. He can let me know when he's hungry. He can let me know when he needs to go out. But he can't tell me with words that chocolate and onions are poisonous to him. That's something I must find out and know and take care of. I can't be careless with how I treat him. So I'm expanding that idea to the care of our planet. What must I find out and know about the earth? What must I stop ignoring? What must I take care of that the planet can't tell me with words? You know, some people think of the planet Earth as a temporary holding zone, you know, like a test site, you know, an obstacle course to get through, with the final goal being to leave this treacherous place behind and get to heaven. I don't think that way. I'm not sure that that's true. And even if it were true, wouldn't we want to treat our home with respect, even if we are just here for a short time? In Science of Mind, we do not focus overly on the afterlife. We focus more on living an awake spiritual life here and now with what we've got. And that requires mindfulness and respect. And that's the second point I'd like to consider today in the message. What does it mean to respect someone? Well, the dictionary says respect is how you treat someone or something to show that you care. So it can include being kind and considerate. It can mean offering help when a need is present. It includes being polite, you know, waiting your turn, not being disruptive, cleaning up after yourself, being mindful of traditions and needs. We experienced some respect in this regard in Bhutan when I took the group. On the itinerary was listed one of the highlights we were all looking forward to very much. We were to visit a nunnery where we would experience the morning prayers with the nuns as they broke their fast. It's a beautiful, deeply moving spiritual experience. Well, it turns out, unfortunately, that one of the government officials of Bhutan had passed away, and her body was laying in state at the nunnery, so the nunnery was closed. Everybody was looking forward to this experience. You know, people had traveled thousands of miles to be there for it. And the guide detected the disappointment, even though we said nothing about it. And he said to us, "No worries, we'll go to my home." And he took all 20 travelers into his small home and performed the morning prayers in its entirety in his family temple of all of us squished in together. And then afterwards, he made us coffee. And drinking coffee is not a real big tradition in Bhutan, but he went out of his way to get coffee for us. Not just any old ordinary coffee, the best coffee. And it got me to thinking, how can we show that kind of regard for our planet? Like the guide in Bhutan, we may have to pay attention to what needs are emerging, even if they're not said. We may have to go out of our way. We may have to change what we normally do. You know, habits. Like our plastic habit. It's a worldwide issue. You know, this morning as I was getting ready in my bathroom, I looked at the counter and just noticed all the plastic everywhere. Now, many of you have heard about the 5 trillion pieces of plastic floating on and in our ocean. And some of the plastic found in that mass of debris, it turns out, is more than 50 years old. Plastic lighters, toothbrushes, pens, cell phones, shampoo containers. And thankfully, there is an ocean cleanup project in development. It's called System 001, I believe. And it's using a kind of parachute anchor dragged along to trap the plastic. And this is good news. And now the conversation is, what do we do with all of that collected plastic debris? Because apparently there is a limit to how many times plastic can be recycled before it becomes a dense permanent trash. Plastic bags have become a big problem in Bhutan, like they have in Bali as well. Because in the old days, when people bought food from a roadside cafe, it was wrapped in a banana leaf. And so when they were done eating, you just threw the banana leaf into nature where it composted itself. And then when the introduction of plastic bags came along, the habit of tossing didn't change. And so the roadsides are just strewn with plastic bags. And there is now a movement to change that habit and replace the plastic bags with bags that are made from plant fibers. But breaking habits, oh, well, you know, it's very inconvenient. Think of how long it took us to stop using plastic bags in supermarkets. We didn't like that at all. We rebelled. And I'm thinking now of what conveniences we might want to adjust if we want to increase respect for our planet. Our teaching, Science of Mind, holds that for a change in habit to take place, a change in consciousness must take place also. Which brings me to the next point I'd like us to consider. holiness. Because I think this is the change in consciousness that will help us. I believe that we need to move beyond a purely materialistic picture of our universe to embrace the idea of the earth itself as something sacred, holy. I like the word sacred. You know, from the Latin, it means to dedicate, to set apart from the ordinary. And to make something sacred, it means, well, I don't treat it like just any old ordinary thing. To hold something as sacred means I commit to treating it as something rare, special, precious, unique, elevated, high, awesome, holy. In 1851, Chief Seattle advocated for this kind of ecological responsibility. And these words I'm about to read to you are attributed to him, but it is not known for certain if he actually wrote them this way. Nevertheless, they remain inspiring. You must teach your children that the ground beneath their feet is the ashes of our grandparents, so that they will respect the land. Tell your children that the earth is rich with the lives of our kin. Teach your children that which we have taught our children, that the earth is our mother. Whatever befalls the earth, befalls the children of earth. This we know. The earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth. This we know. All things are connected. Our science of mind teaching is the practice of staying awake to our connectivity and our connectedness and to our divinity, because doing so invites us, urges us to act in a more peaceful, sacred, inclusive, loving way. So in summary today, the message I bring you is this, an invitation to include the earth in your daily prayer work, so that you develop a tenderness about it, and to let that tenderness grow into respect, and to let that respect develop in you a sense of reverence, so that together we treat the earth as we would a cherished mother. I have a prayer to share with you about the earth, and I invite you to breathe in with me, and to exhale, letting your eyes close. And to imagine with me that these words I speak are being spoken by your own mind silently inside. I recognize one spirit, life. It is the spirit of life within the earth and all its inhabitants. It is alive and strong. Today and every day, I remind myself that that life is precious, creative, and beautiful. I allow myself to feel love and awe for the earth, its creatures, its beauty, its magnificence. I trust that this awareness I am establishing through this prayer is making a beneficial and powerful contribution to the way I and all humanity sees Mother Earth. I trust that this prayer is dissolving every unhelpful thought or impulse that would throw a shadow on the way the earth is treated or understood. I feel my oneness through this prayer with the power that created the earth, and I celebrate that something magnificent is being birthed in me and in humanity that leads us to tenderness, respect, and holiness for the planet. I invite you to sit with me now in a moment of silent contemplation. I invite you now to let the next breath you take be deeper than the one before, followed by a sigh. We use this movement of breath to bring our time of quiet contemplation to its conclusion so that we may transition into our next practice, that of circulation. Circulation is the spiritual practice of giving and receiving, acknowledging, thanking, and appreciation. So today, as you prepare your gift, I invite you to think about how wonderfully you support the center and how wonderfully it supports you. But even more than that, to think about the support we receive from earth and nature, so much so that we don't even have to think about the next breath we will take. I invite the ushers to stand. Won't you please take your gift in your hand? Or if you gave electronically, won't you place your open hand on your heart as a symbol of your heart connection to your giving and say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.